Blog Talk Radio.
And now, a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Booker T. Washington Speaks, African American Family Room Forum. And we're broadcasting on a rainy Saturday evening here in Augusta, Georgia. We had rain most of the night last night and had a short break early today, and then it started again. And I guess we're going to be looking at rain for the next few days, and that might be a good thing because summer has been relatively dry, and so rain is always good for the farmers, as well as keeping down some of the pollen that causes many people to have problems with allergies. So we're thankful for the rain, but we're also thankful that we are able to be safely inside and not exposed to the elements, as many people are. There are many people that are homeless. I was told by a friend of mine that from time to time he goes to one part of town here in Augusta, Georgia, where there are actually people living underneath a bridge. I can only imagine what that must be like on a night, on an evening like this. But we're thankful that we're in a warm home and safe and sound. And we want to welcome everyone who's joined us tonight via the internet. We certainly want to welcome our veteran panelist, Mr. Bianchi, who I see has arrived. And we'll bring you on in just a minute, Mr. Bianchi. But welcome to the Family Room, African-American Family Room Forum tonight. And at this time, I do want to announce our topic for tonight. And this is the topic for discussion for tonight. And as we mentioned many times, we can always shift gears once we have exhausted a particular topic and pick up on any topic that's of interest to those that call in to the Family Room Forum. The assigned topic for tonight is this. Tonight we will be discussing the four U.S. Congresswomen of color who are seeking justice for humanity with clarion voices, loud, clear voices, and U.S. presidential efforts to suppress their voices and marginalize their leadership. And I'm not suggesting that this particular move by the president has not been prompted by some very harsh criticism of him and his administration by some of these ladies. There is a bit of tit for tat there, I recognize that, but the main thing is the fact that they are speaking out against injustice as they see it on several fronts. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come on to make our little statement. We try to have a small voice on the program so that those that join us, the members of the Family Room Forum, can be the ones that carry the conversation mostly. But we do have a little something to say on this topic. So I'm going to repeat the topic, and then I'm going to ask Mr. Bianchi if he would like to respond to the topic. But again, welcome, Mr. Bianchi. And here's the topic for those that are just joining us. Tonight we will be discussing the four U.S. Congresswomen of color who are seeking justice for humanity with clarion voices. They are being known in the press as the Squad. Two of them are Muslim women, Ilhan Omar, and also Rashida Tlaib, and then we have the two others, one African-American that's not a Muslim, and another Hispanic-American, and they have joined together somewhat, and they're not necessarily an organized group, a quartet that's organized, but they've been identified with having some similar voices of protest and criticism of the administration. And I particularly tonight, when I do come on, I want to talk about Ms. Omar, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, because of the stance that she has taken concerning our U.S. relationship with Israel, support of Israel in spite of some of the human rights violations that are daily occurring under the current Israeli government. Some people may feel that what the government over there is doing is perfectly justified. I was in Israel several years ago, and I wasn't pleased with some of the things that I saw occurring over there vis-a-vis the treatment of the Palestinian people, but that's another story. We'll talk about that perhaps later. So anyway, Ms. Bjork, yeah, I want to say again that we're certainly glad that you have joined us tonight and you've heard the topic. What is your opinion?
Well, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead, Mr. Parker. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, good evening to you.
Good evening.
And I'm happy I don't have to vote for none of those three, Presley, Cortez, Omar, or Rashid. But as far as those two, Omar and Rashid, I think it's despicable the way they talk against a U.S. ally the way that they are. If they're making the statements and they try to travel to the country, the country's got a right to deny anyone from coming into its borders. Rashid, there's plenty of things that's needed in Detroit, being that you're now sitting in a seat that was held for over, I think, 40 years by John Conyers. The conditions that exist need attention. I didn't too much like her statement when she was elected, said that we're going to impeach this MF in front of our children. Speaking about the president, Donald Trump. And, of course, Omar, as bad shape as things are in Somalia, it would be nice if maybe she could come up with a magic formula in order to kind of change things around. And also, even in her district where she lived, where it has been renamed and famously Little Mogadishu. So I don't like the way they speak out against Israel. Maybe the same thing could be said about France, the way it treats its former Francophone colonies there in Africa under the disguise of the CFA Pact. So that's my opinion about them too. And also, Presley, the thing she said, that for anyone to sit at the table, they got to be 100% black. They have to be 100% Hispanic, 100% Jew, 100% queer. If anyone else said that, especially if they was white, they would be accused of being a racist. And just further demonstrate that the double standard and triple standard that seem to be existing when it comes down to members of that party, if you want to look at it along party lines. And the media perpetrate a lot of this rhetoric, listening to them too. That's my opinion, Mr. Washington.
Well, I send it. Thank you for your candor and for bringing some of these probably little-known facts to the forefront. A lot of people that I have talked to have not really stayed up to date or even taken a real interest in this conversation that we're having as far as the opinions and statements of these ladies are concerned. And myself personally, the main thing that got my attention about it, to be frank with you, is not so much the issue of Omar and her birth place of Somalia. I have visited part of Somalia, which was called Prince Somalia, during the colonial period, Djibouti, on the Horn of Africa a couple of times. My ship, Navy, docked there at the refueling station for ships, and we were there, and I actually ventured out into the city. And some of the things that I saw really were heartbreaking in terms of the conditions there. And these people were under French domination, whereas the other parts of Somalia were under Italian domination. But notwithstanding who the colonials were, once the colonials left, it seemed that the countries went into total disrepair, unfortunately. But the fact is that, not in defense of Representative Omar and what you said about her coming up with a magic formula to fix our own country. You know, many people have migrated from their homeland, the Puritans and Pilgrims and other English settlers in America migrated from England. Many of these people were not real poor, poor people, but some were. Eventually, England began to empty out her poorhouses to come to America. And when these people came to America, even though they had family members that were still back in the old world and felt, I'm sure, a very strong emotional tie to the old world, they basically adopted a new country as their motherland and no longer felt responsible for the tragic situations in the motherland, even though over a period of time, as America got to be strong, they did extend quite a bit of aid, and we still are extending aid to European countries, even England. But the fact is that Omar, as a child, left Somalia. She's probably visited there numerous times, I would imagine, since then. I don't know. But she's an American citizen, and she really has no responsibility to fix the problems in some other part of the world, even though she may have been born there, any more than the Puritans had responsibility to fix the problems that Parliament had with the Crown in England when they came over here. So I'm just saying all that to say that her concern is a humanitarian concern about the world in general, and her election to Congress was to represent the people there in her district, the American people, and try to fix their problems. Well, that might be true. I mean, I'm not doubting that some people call that area Little Mogadishu, but that's not her fault. I mean, those problems existed long before she got elected. I've visited Detroit, Michigan on a number of occasions in the last few years. And I was given a tour of some of the what I would call devastated areas over in the black neighborhoods of Detroit. And I've, have had some sorrowful memories because of what's going on there. And at the same time, on one occasion, I went down to the Motor Casino where a group of well-to-do African-Americans in black tie were celebrating the resurgence or revitalization of the National Business League, which my great-grandfather had a hand in founding 100 years ago. And that's a whole different side of town. So we have this dichotomy in our communities, the haves and have-nots, and maybe she can get a lot of the haves to uplift the have-nots. But the question that really is on my mind tonight is whether or not these women, now I don't agree with this congresswoman saying that we should impeach the MF, referring to a president of the United States. I definitely, definitely challenge that and disagree with that totally. That was very, very out of character for any congressperson who took an oath to defend the Constitution, and the president is the top executive in that structure. But the truth of the matter is that I think these women, notwithstanding that profanity and that disrespect, should have a voice and should be allowed to speak out when they say things in this country as well as things change to American policy here and abroad. What is your opinion about that, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, they can say whatever they want to, but others don't have to listen to them. And then whatever it is that they say, they can be expected to have a repercussion, either favorably or disfavorably.
Well, you're right. Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. That statement is all good with me. Unfortunately, as you probably have noticed from some of the news reports over the last few months since they came to prominence as the squad, as it's called, there have been some various attempts to suppress their voices. I'm not even referring to president, even among their own party members, that there have been attempts to silence them as though, as representatives of the government of the United States, they're supposed to toe somebody else's line and not speak their minds. What's your opinion about that type of suppression?
Well, they do that to our president. That's been going on for quite some time. It has went on to such an attempt throughout history where people have been assassinated. So that comes with the territory.
Well, that's
true. I guess that's why politicians and others are careful what they say. And they say things, whereas not to totally offend anyone, but also not to totally befriend them either. So she represents that party. She's going to get pushback from the president because he's opposite of that party. And they speak out against the things that he wants. Look at Cortez. The things that she said are quite natural. She's going to get pushback. Talking about the elimination of fossil fuels that's used for ships, airplanes, and automobiles. Talking about the world is coming to an end in 12 years due to climatic changes and, I guess, prophecy. I don't know. But those are all that goes along with the ball game that they're playing in.
Well, you're absolutely right. I have no qualms with any of that at all. One reason why I never wanted to be a politician myself, even though on several occasions I was encouraged to become a politician in my home state of Alabama, but I declined because I have too thin of a skin, and I just don't like the idea of going into a business where it's just normal and natural to create enemies. And I know that these ladies had to have understood when they took on the job of being representatives that they were going to create enemies just because of, if no other reason, you know, their ethnicity, but more importantly, their points of view, especially on these controversial subjects. And, of course, we're going to wrap up here in just a minute, Ms. Bianchi. I was expecting Dr. Nobles to be on tonight. He told me he would miss last week, but would be back this week, but he hasn't come on so far. And I had invited someone else that you may recall from the past, a Dr. Brandy Brown, who's an educator, and I hadn't heard a response from my invitation, but I see she hasn't come on yet, so we don't have to keep going since we basically stated our opinions. I just want to say this last part, and then I'll turn it over to you for the final word. You know, I will say this. I mentioned this in my opening. A number of years ago, actually it was around 1992, so it's been quite a while, you know, nearly 30 years ago, I visited Israel. I was in the Navy, and we had to pull into Haifa to get some repairs down to our ship and to give the troops some time ashore, as we call it, at the Navy Liberty. And I fortunately was able to join a tour that took me all over the quote-unquote Holy Land. But in traveling around the Holy Land, I noticed that the majority of occupants of the Holy Land were brown-skinned people, the Palestinian people, and the Caucasian-looking people, which were the Jewish settlers, I call them, had all of the better things going for them, and certainly they had a lot of security, because what I saw over there is just everybody, male or female, over 18 years old, was entitled to carry an Uzi around. They usually would put them in these gym bags, but you could tell from the shape of the bag that they had a weapon in there, and this was allowed. And this was not allowed for the Palestinians, only for those Jewish citizens. And, of course, the idea is that if the Palestinians started an intifada or any type of protest, that made these Jewish people feel threatened, that Jewish people could open fire on these Palestinians in what I consider personally to be their native land. Now, some people may argue and use biblical scriptures and say that those Jews had just as much right to that land, and they had the right to come down there and take over those people's farms and lands, and we won't get into that tonight. But the point of it is, I saw what I could see from the outside looking in was a lot of repression. Wasn't as bad as what I heard was going on in South Africa during the apartheid era, and it's kind of what I hear resuming over there under the administrations that have succeeded Mandela, even with the collaboration or co-opting of the black leadership. But the fact is that I'm not too happy with the way America is supporting the government that is actually strangling those people. And I don't have a problem with Omar speaking out against it. I also will say this in my conclusion. I do understand the position of the Israeli government. They're trying to maintain the type of control and secure for their people primarily, their status quo. And they don't want someone coming over there that, they wouldn't let Farrakhan go to England or France, whichever country it was. I think it was Malcolm that couldn't go to France, and Farrakhan couldn't go to England because they felt that these firebrands would stir up the colonial subjects. And I think that's one reason why they don't want Omar to come to Israel to fire those people up. So I can understand the government restricting her travel over there. I'm not saying I agree that she shouldn't go over there and speak her mind, but that's a different world over there. When you have what I consider to be a totalitarian type of state, they do lock down freedom of speech. I'm not in agreement with it, but I see their position being a military man. But at the same time, in this country, I think that any citizen should have the right, and this is my final comment, to protest against any policies of our government. Now, during a time of war, habeas corpus is suspended, and even freedom of speech is suspended. But we're not at war, and I think we should be free to criticize policies of our government, especially when we're spending billions. I understand that over 100 and some billions of dollars have been spent since the 70s to support the government, and most of that money has probably gone to industrialization and military buildup of Israel. And since we are voting and we're paying taxes, we should have a voice about what's going on where our money's been spent. But that's my final word. But I want to say thank you to all who have joined in via the internet to listen tonight. I don't want to say I apologize for our broadcast being brief, because any of you can call in and extend the broadcast if you want to be part of the conversation. The number to call in is 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. But if we don't get any callers, we will conclude after Mr. Bianchi gives us his final comment. So you have the mic, Mr. Bianchi. Would you like to make a final comment?
Well, like I said before, and like you said too, you said that Omar was not voted for by the people in Somalia. She voted for by the people in Minnesota. And her concerns should be mainly with those people. I don't think she's on the Foreign Relations Committee. And no, I don't blame Israel for not letting her come in to cause trouble, as it would be perceived. In the same way with the Rashidi. She was voted for by the people there in what was John Conyers' old district. And there's a lot of things that need to be done there. And if there's some other issues, they should be brought up with Congress. Congress votes to approve aid. Israel was an ally of the United States, providing protection for U.S. interests in that area. But now things are different. Donald Trump is telling these other countries that they need to do what they was expected to do, and that was to use at least 2% of their gross domestic product on their own defense or more. And many aren't doing that. I heard where one nation was doing like 0.6%. So that's my opinion. And hopefully things will work out for the best. They usually do.
Okay, well, Mr. Jagger, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As we mentioned, the last couple of weeks, we won't be on the air next week, and I'll be unable to broadcast due to a speaking engagement. But we certainly will be back. We plan to be back the following week. So we ask all of you to, if you haven't gone up on the website, Blog Talk Radio, Booker T. Washington Speaks, go up there and you'll be able to see the archives going back almost 3 years, going on 3 years. You'll be able to listen to some discussions we've had. You may have some questions that are generated after you hear some of those previous broadcasts, and we can always bring those questions, those topics back up. So we look forward to being back on there the Saturday after next. We hope that everyone has an enjoyable rest of the weekend, driving out even around town. Be careful of the other driver. Be safe. We'll text and drive. And if you're going to use a phone, make sure it's hands-free, et cetera, et cetera. So God bless everyone. And again, thank you so much, Ms. Bianca. We really appreciate you. And you have a good weekend also. And now we close with our traditional anthem. Lift every voice.